someone's. Right, Chris?
Well,
yeah, I guess.
All right, getting into writing first. Adapted screenplay. We actually have the same 5 for 5 again. Arrival, Fences, Hidden Figures, Lion, and Moonlight.
So there's a bit of a weird thing with the writing this year. The Guild has Moonlight as an original screenplay nominee, correct?
Yeah, the Guild had it as...
The Writers Guild of America does. But Oscars, with their weird-ass backwards rules, have it forced into adapted.
What's it? Is it based on like a short called Moonlight or something?
It's based on a
play.
It was going to be a play, but they never produced it.
So it's based on a script.
It's like an unproduced script.
So annoying. Because it could fight the original nominee category. It would have a chance to win, which I think is. I mean, they're both the same, but I feel like original's a little more prestigious. Mm-hmm. I think it would have a good fight with La La Land and Manchester. That'd be a good nominee pool, but I think it's going to run away with adapted. I think.
Yeah, for those people cheering for it, gets out of the way of La La Land and Manchester, which are kind of the favorites.
Moonlight is out of the Oscar movies I've seen, and I've seen a few, probably 6 or 7 Best Picture nominees. I'll have already seen when the nominations come out tomorrow. They'll already be out by the time anybody's listening to this. But Moonlight's the best movie I've seen so far, I think. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And the thing that I think that could break into this would be Nocturnal Animals. It's like a movie about writing and... Here literally has scenes of people reading. Like, Amy Adams puts on glasses to read, and you actually literally see her read. So if you want, like, a literal screenplay, you know, actors like nominations for people who are acting as actors in a movie. And
which
writers...
La La Land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, La La Land, Birdman, all those kind of things. Artist.
Deadpool got a Writers Guild nomination for adapted screenplay.
Hmm. Yep. I do think...
It'd be fun to see a movie nominated for something like real. It'd be cool.
Especially like juxtaposed with that when they do like the really irritating like stings where they show like someone like handwriting the screenplay.
Oh, those
and then it's like, and then it's just like Amy Adams looks down at her book, and then it's like TJ Miller says that Deadpool looks like a ball sack.
Like an avocado. Yeah.
I would just love to see when they like overlay the type of like the typewriter just typing out ball sack on screen. It would be a dream realized.
So this is it seems dumb to me, and obviously to you, I'm sure, as well, but like you said, Moonlight has to be called adapted screenplay. Mm-hmm. And Jackie is original.
Yeah.
Like Jackie, which clearly all of these things are come from things people have written down about Jackie before, mm-hmm. I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
and about what she was going through at the time. That's an original story. And Moonlight, yeah.
Well, you get into the same kind of thing, like Loving is considered adapted. You know, the guy adapted the story and there's a famous The Loving Story documentary about the couple, mm-hmm. you know, fighting... The mixed marriage law in Virginia.
I mean, so it's if you base off something that's copywritten, I think is how they tend to do it.
But the story is like he just like, you know, it's history, so he can just make up the story and got some dialogue from the documentary. Didn't really directly source it, and Academy ruled that since he used some dialogue from the actual people that were featured in the documentary, it's adapted now.
And again, it got nominated by the Writers Guild for Best Original. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
But the idea that a biopic, like that the actors and actresses and writers don't draw from the knowledge of previous works or history, is just insane. It's that's such a like a relic of the past. Like we live in an age now where everything is written down, regurgitated 100 times, like every third Netflix original TV series about royalty. Like that is never in a million fucking years going to be an original idea.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand it. But
it's bullshit, though.
It's like the NFL catch rule.
There's so many exceptions.
Right.
I understand it, and it's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Like, I think similarly, the process for nominating foreign films, that like a country has to hold up, their film studio has to like hold up their one from their country, and it can't have like any English in it at all.
Yeah.
It's just weird to have a category where Jackie could potentially be going up against The Lobster for like a creation of your originality, your original work.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good segue into original screenplay. I think we are the same 4 for 5. We have one difference. We're the same for Captain Fantastic, Hell or High Water, La La Land, Manchester. And you have Jackie, where I have The Lobster.
Lobster, I had it in. For a while, I have not seen it. Brent has.
Great movie. I saw it. I think it's in there just because it's unlike absolutely anything. It's truly original. It's mm-hmm. insane. It's kind of disturbing. I don't really know what to make of it.
And hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's like unsettling. It's weird. The acting takes you a while to get into, but it's definitely original.
Because the plot is basically, it's in the future, and single people are arrested and forced into a hotel,
mm-hmm.
where if they don't find a mate within, 45 days?
45.
Then they are turned into animals and then released into the woods.
Yes, animals of their choice.
I was about to say
that. All right.
Colin Farrell wants to become a lobster, and he gets kudos for his originality. Everyone wants to become a dog, so that's why there's stray dogs in the world. In the future. It is just...
Nobody picked bird?
Pick bird. Animorphs, man. Animorphs 2, Tobias turns into a bird, gets stuck. Ride, that's like, the life, man.
Ride the thermals, dog.
Yeah.
Like a blue whale that lived for, like, ever.
Well, you and I both live a very turtle lifestyle. I feel like a Galapagos turtle would be really good.
But, yeah. They got eaten.
200 years of doing nothing.
Not a lot of expectations for a turtle, you know? you can really make it as a turtle. And you have Jackie instead of the lobster.
Yeah, so almost the entire movie is her talking, and she delivers it so well. I feel like she could steer it into a nom.
Yep. Because of the weird switching, we both have a couple ones that weren't Writers Guild ones. We both have Captain Fantastic, and you got Jackie, I got Lobster. None of them were Guild nominated. I don't know why the Lobster was ineligible. I never understand
for the Guild stuff.
Yeah, same line was ineligible. I think it's writers that aren't in the WGA.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's like any Pixar movie is never going to be Writers Guild because Pixar writers aren't in the Guild.
Right,
they just write as kind of a crew.
Right,
they have a head writer.
And that happened with last year. Inside Out got nominated for Best Original Screenplay, but didn't get anything from the Guild.
Yeah, but didn't get the Guild.
Yeah, right.
I would like to see Zootopia in here. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, it was fun last year seeing Inside Out in, I thought.
It would be another one I will have actually seen.
Yeah.
All right, going on to getting into acting.
Acting.
Best Supporting Actress. Again, we are 4 for 5 for the same stuff. Both have Michelle Williams, Manchester, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion, and Viola Davis for Fences.
It's a clear front runner right at the moment.
Clear front runner. Gonna win. You have Greta Gerwig, 20th Century Woman. I have Janelle Monáe.
My fifth spot is wide open right now,
yep.
I think.
I think like a good rule of thumb is from SAG nominations, it's pretty much 4 for 5. Sometimes it's less, not very often you go 5 for 5, but you kind of do what you can with who you think is the weakest and, you know, go for a wild card.
Right, and Janelle Monáe does have the like double movie going for her. She plays a prominent role in Moonlight as well, mm-hmm. as Hidden Figures.
And, you know, with actresses, Academy likes ingenues, people who are young and, you know, attractive to be actresses. So I was thinking for a wild card, throw it into a singer. You know, I like her as a singer. I like that rope song.
To
break onto the scene and kind of, you know, recognize a good year. That happens sometimes.
Yeah. It kind of happened last year with, what's her name? From, I can't remember either movie she's in now. The model girl. She's in the movie with Oscar Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
Alicia
Vikander. Yeah, she had a good year last year.
Yeah, only thing, you know, I think Octavia Spencer probably gets it. That would be 5 for 5 for SAG in Hidden Figures. You don't often, you know, switch someone out for the other. You know, usually you get a different movie. So that's kind of my wild choice there.
Who do you think would drop out if Spencer came in and you were forced to drop one of those four? It would be Kidman? That's kind of who I think it would be.
Yeah, I think so. I think the other movies are just too strong.
Yeah. I just like Greta Gerwig a ton. I would love to see her.
Yeah. I would see, like, if Gerwig gets in, I think Benning's in. That's kind of like a pair.
See, I thought I could see Gerwig getting in and then being like, that's what we're giving 20th Century Women.
Yeah. Like I said, I remember the wild year with Reese Witherspoon. You know, you had Laura Dern come in as a surprise nominee. Plays her mother, supporting actress. Kind of saw it as that kind of thing. For no reason whatsoever. But that's just what it reminded me of.
No opinions as a supporting actress. Brent, how about you?
Same.
All right.
Supporting actor.
Supporting actor. We're again 4 for 5. We both have Dev Patel, Jeff Bridges, Lucas Hedges, Mahershala Ali, and you have Hugh Grant, and I have Kevin Costner for Hidden Figures.
Yeah,
I feel like you were both being silly with this. Yeah. Hugh Grant and Kevin Costner can't possibly be nominated for an Oscar this year.
Right? Mine matched the writers, the SAG, exactly.
Yeah,
5 for 5.
That happens sometimes.
with Hugh Grant. I don't know. I kind of like the Lifetime. Here it is. It's a Meryl Streep movie. It's a period piece. I don't know. It just seemed...
He's been in Oscar-adjacent movies before. Right. Like Four Weddings and a Funeral, I think, got screenplay. Like About a Boy, I think, got screenplay.
9 months.
Nomination. 9 months had Hugh Grant, you know. All the good stuff.
I think it is an absolute travesty in this category that John Goodman for 10 Cloverfield Lane is not getting more attention.
He was great in it. He really was.
I haven't seen it. I really want to see it. I think it was a January movie, and sometimes those get forgotten.
It's
too early in the year.
It was a March movie because we saw it on my birthday.
Okay.
Was it?
But still, it's that area where you dump movies you're not sure about.
You got to be May or later.
Yeah.
Then again, it was a double feature with Deadpool when we saw it.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yep.
I saw 90% of Deadpool that time.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going out on a limb on Kevin Costner. No preliminary support at all. I think he's respected.
Yeah.
And it's been 27 years since Dances with Wolves.
Yep.
Last nomination. I don't know. I think he could get in. Riding a wave. I think, right when the last week of voting for this movie happened, Hidden Figures was number one in the movie in America. Knocked out at Rogue One. I think it's going to get Best Picture, and this may just be swept up with it.
Yeah.
I sadly think that Lucas Hedges is the weakest in this category. I think he's the most ripe for someone to take his place.
I thought about dropping him.
Who's he in it? Is he the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a kid. He's great in it. He's funny. He's heartbreaking for part of it.
Yeah, I had the older Asian guy from Silence. I had in for Lucas Hedges for a day, and then I swapped it back. I couldn't bring myself to do it. But
yep. Usually, if you're a kid actor, you're an actress like Abigail Breslin, that kind of thing. you don't really see a lot of young teenagers that get it. Yeah, he's the only one I can really think of. But in that time frame, you got Little Miss Sunshine Girl, you got Atonement Girl.
Little Shit from Boyhood got nominated, didn't he?
No.
Oh, really?
We talked about it.
Right. And the guy from Room didn't get nominated.
Right. And
but he got a SAG nomination.
Man, that kid from Room should have been nominated.
He was good.
He was so good.
And you had the girl from Convincing A. Wallace, or whatever her name is.
Yep.
She got nominated.
Oh, and you have Haley Steinfeld, True Grit.
Yep.
It happens more.
With females, it does.
So that's why Anna Paquin won back in the day. Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder if Aaron Taylor Johnson, the Nocturnal Animals dude...
He's been getting wins and nominations. He's creeping up.
Yep.
I do think Bridges and Ali are locked. Honestly, any of the other ones could drop out and I wouldn't be too shocked. Probably have Dev Patel in after those two. But if anybody hadn't seen Hell or High Water, it's Jeff Bridges playing Jeff Bridges. I mean, it's great for him. He just kills it. Dialogue and screen time that him and his partner get in Hell or High Water are the best parts of the movie.
Yeah.
I think
there's a particular scene in a diner that is fantastic.
It's hilarious.
That it's the two Texas sheriffs, but they're still the fish out of water in this even tinier West Texas diner.
Mm.
And it's just really great.
Yeah.
It's my favorite parts of No Country for Old Men is the two, Texan people dialogue, just when it's really authentic. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
The call it scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I Tommy Lee Jones talking to his deputy guy in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good movie.
Yeah.
Any chance that Ben Foster replaces Jeff Bridges?
I don't think so. I liked Ben Foster a ton in it. Me and Chris don't agree a little bit on that.
I just didn't like the movie as much as I think you did.
Yeah. And it definitely didn't have that thing in it, but I thought Ben Foster and Jeff Bridges were the best parts by far of that movie. And like I said, the only reason I would pick Bridges over Foster is because I do think there's two storylines in that movie. Mm-hmm. One that's 60% of the movie, one that's 40%. And the 40% one is Jeff Bridges and his partner. And it is by far better than the other part.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder, typically you have a villain in Best Supporting Actor, Heath Ledger type, Anton Chigurh, No Country type. These are all kind of good guys on the good side of, they're sheriffs, cops, their supporters, his husbands.
There's not really a villain in that. I mean, it would definitely be Ben Foster, but...
But if you're talking antagonist, it would be Jeff Bridges. Not just... He is... They set Chris Pine up as, the foil, as, the straight man gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriffs, but especially Jeff Bridges, are rough around the edges. And...
Yeah, he's kind of racist.
More than kinda.
He's racist, but you don't know how much of it is.
It's that small town racism where you don't know if it's I'm just jumping you in. This is just something we do when we're good friends,
which is like actual Texas
racism. Or if he just actually hates this person for, you know, who they are. Oops. Mm. Any chance that Peter Cushing could get a nomination for Rogue One? You know, a good 40 years after his death.
It'd be fantastic.
There's always the potential. We call it the Cushing effect.
We in the academy.
All right, moving on to some big hitters. Best asterisk.
and the nominees are Obelisk.
Best actress. Again, we are 4 for 5 with each other. Amy Adams, Emma Stone, Meryl Streep, Natalie Portman. The same. You have Isabelle Huppert for Elle, and I have Ruth Negga for Loving.
Isabelle Huppert, the Golden Globe winner, right?
She was the Golden Globe winner.
For drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not rare for foreign... I mean, it is rare. It's not... it's happened before for foreign films to have lead actors.
Nominated.
Well, we had a winner... Didn't we? Or did he just win? Roberto Benigni? He won.
Marion Cotillard won.
Yep.
You know, more recently.
Yeah. Javier Bardem was nominated from Beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Typically, I looked it up, it's about a little more than half the time. If you're going to be a foreign language acting nomination, your movie is nominated. And Elle is not nominated. It's like, you know, Emmanuel Riva from a couple years ago, the movie I Hate Amor.
Yeah. Oh, man, we walked out of that just like, what is...
We saw all of it, but we walked out of it unsatisfied. Yeah. She was nominated, but it was also the French submission, and it was a nominee for foreign language.
Right.
And Elle didn't make the cut as the French pick, I think probably because it's very controversial movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
It's a thriller. Female thriller.
Yeah. I think she's probably a favorite to get in. I'm not picking her more because I just don't want to have to see it. After hearing about it. And I'm going to try to see all the movies I can. If that's on the list, it's probably going to be last.
It's really good, man.
Yeah. And I have Ruth Negga as Loving. You know, it was, you know, predicted to do a lot better. And now it's pretty much falling out of every category. I like Ruth Negga. She's good in Preacher and, mm-hmm. and other stuff. I liked her in Misfits.
Mm-hmm.
Great show, both of them. I would love to see her as kind of, you know, she would be the only first-time nominee in here. You know,
Meryl Streep's not been nominated before? Or has she been?
Just Grammys. You know, as the ingenue, the new, you know, attractive actress kind of nomination.
I think he gets in for one of the lead acting pools. You have her in there, which does not surprise me at all. And it is my difference from you in the next category. Yeah.
I haven't seen Loving, but from what I hear, people like her performance better than his.
Yeah.
You know, they're both kind of stoic, but he's even more stoic-er.
I just think the actress pool is deeper.
Yeah. I think you could do, you know, leave these people out and have another 5 they could potentially get in.
Yeah.
You know, Annette Bening, again, you know, people like that movie. And she's, I heard on a podcast, she's on the Academy Board of Governors. She just, you know, stuffed the ballot. Infiltrate PricewaterhouseCoopers as a secret agent and be there. Taraji P. Henson, too. You know, if my Hidden Figures thing is true, you know, maybe she gets in. She's been nominated before for Curious Case of Benji B.
Benji B.
This is only going to happen once all season, but I have to correct you. Elle was France's contender for foreign language film.
Ah, but that's true.
It didn't make the short list. Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't make it down to the 9 that they've narrowed it down to before tomorrow.
Okay.
That's right. Anything else for actress? You want to go to actor?
Go to actor, yeah.
All right, for actor, we have, once again, 4 of the 5. We have Affleck, Washington, Gosling, and Mortensen. For their movies, and the difference is you have Joel Edgerton for Loving, and I have Garfield for Hacksaw. I'm kind of going 5 for 5 from SAG. Mm-hmm. I think it happens sometimes, not often. I couldn't think of anyone else to put in.
I really wanted to put Edgerton in because I didn't have room for Nega in the lead actress role, and I had trouble picking one to drop out. Gosling, I think, is in, and Denzel and Casey Affleck.
Catholic.
They're definitely in, I think, those two.
And I think Edgerton had a good year. You know, I liked Midnight Special. Thought he was really good in it.
Dude.
Yeah, I saw that a couple weeks ago. I really liked it.
Yeah, yeah, he's good as like the supportive friend. Yeah. Who's just
same director too.
Yeah, that's right.
But
I think he directed the movie he directed that was like a small horror movie where like he terrorizes Jason Bateman. I think that was this year, but he also directed a movie that was like a surprise hit.
Oh, Edgerton?
Yeah.
The yeah, where they somebody moves, it's somebody in a new house.
Yeah, he's got a creepy goatee and like leaves him, The Gift.
The Gift. That's what I was going to say The Guest, but it's he leaves The Gift, yeah.
Is his goatee creepy or is he creepy with the goatee?
Both things.
Okay. As a goatee apologist, I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
He's just in scenes and the goatee just says, soon. It's real creepy.
And I could see Garfield not making it. You know, when you have two movies, sometimes it's good, sometimes you split.
Yeah.
He's got Hacksaw and Silence.
I don't like what I've seen from him. I have not seen Hacksaw Ridge yet, but I feel like he's like doing a really thick, laid on southern accent. Like he's almost like doing a voiceover for a comedy
when I hear him from Inglourious Bastards.
Kind
of. An impression like of him.
Like a performance you see in like the show Extras, you know, the Ricky Gervais show. Someone would do like an embarrassing southern accent.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I mean, Affleck and Denzel are locks for sure. I think one of them is going to run away with it at the end.
Yeah. I think it's Affleck now.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Affleck. But I think the only one who could catch him is. A lot of times what you have is you have two people chasing one and they can't, neither one can get traction, kind of. Two nominees chasing a front runner.
Mm-hmm.
The thing Denzel does have going for him, I think he's the sole second place. You know what I mean? The only person who's got a chance to catch him. I don't think Gosling's
going to get there. You'd also potentially, you know, he's a SAG nominee too. I think I read this that he's never won a SAG award despite winning two Oscars and like being nominated for a bunch of stuff. You know, that could be some momentum. You know, wins the SAG is kind of a career thing. Never done it before. And then, you know, that goes into blah-de-blah-blah-blah.
True.
The end of this Oscar season.
And he's liked a lot, which is good. Case of Affleck's kind of...
But there's one thing the Academy likes more than Denzel Washington, and it's white people in the whitest movie of all time, La La Land.
True. I say Manchester.
I don't know.
They're pretty white.
So I haven't seen Manchester.
One's eggshell, the other's like alabaster. Like different shade of the whitest white ever.
You got anything else for that? Or?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, maybe Tom Hanks Sully, but I don't think so.
Yeah, good.
You missed on Captain Phillips.
I don't know.
Maybe, how they just hate him now.
And Sully wasn't that great. It was a good Sully performance.
Yeah.
If there's a category best performance by Sully, it's like John Goodman in Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, I don't know how he got missed for Captain Fantastic, Captain Phillips that year. The last 20 minutes of that movie with him are amazing.
Yeah. And the final scene with the credits and he's just finally breaking down.
Yeah.
Just
so good.
Yeah, I think there's like a little bit of Tom Hanks fatigue in the late 90s, like for the Oscars. Which is weird because Meryl Streep fatigue has shown no signs of setting in.
No.
Yeah.
But she also, I mean, he, you know, he had more wins than she did in the mid-90s. She was tied with her.
Oh, two. As many.
Yeah, she's got three now. Hanks did it back-to-back, which never really happens.
Yeah.
And Streep spread it out across 70s, 80s, and 2000s.
Yeah. Was Hanks nominated for Apollo 13?
No.
So he didn't have a shot at
Castle Layers is next nominee, I think.
He didn't get nominated for Saving Private
Ryan. He got nominated for
Saving Private Ryan. That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and Castaway. Castaway may be his last one. It's the last one I can think of.
I think it is.
Weird.
The whole acting alone thing, they love
They
love nominating that.
All right, director.
The moment we've all been waiting for.
We're, again, 4 for 5. We both have Barry Jenkins, Damien Chazelle, Denis Villeneuve, Kenneth Lonergan, and you have David McKenzie, and I have Scorsese.
Yeah.
We both don't have Garth Davis, who's the other DGA nom from our four we have shared.
I feel like the little guy that could happens a lot. Nice. I feel like the little guy that could happens a lot. I'm trying to remember his name. Who directed Room, David?
Lenny Abrahamson.
Yeah, so he was the kind of indie guy that got in last year, which is why I picked Hell or High Water
yeah.
to get in. I feel like there's always that kind of
The squirrel?
Yeah.
I would love to see, by the way, this is unrelated to this Oscars and who's picking which nominees. I would love to see Denis Villeneuve win because he's directing the next Blade Runner. And I just want it to be able to say from Oscar-nominated director, Blade Runner 2046, whatever the year is, yeah. It's going to be nowhere near the Oscars.
Starring Oscar nominee Gosling.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Oscar nominee Harrison Ford, has he been nominated ever?
Yeah, for Witness.
Witness.
Nice.
Yeah. One nomination total.
I just want Blade Runner to be good.
I do too. That'd be nice. It'd be nice if the things you want to be good are good.
Yeah, like Ready Player One, I'm worried that movie's going to be bad.
Yeah, I have no idea how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well,
Dark Tower, more than anything.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous about
it.
Mm-hmm. Dark Tower. Sorry, my Oscar talk fatigue is setting in.
Well, we're at Best Picture.
I'll stop sidetracking.
Unless David's got anything else to add.
I got a fun fact.
All right, what's your fun fact?
If your five is correct, it'll be everyone will be their first nomination. That doesn't typically happen.
Chazelle wasn't even nominated for Whiplash?
No. He was nominated for screenplay, not director.
Oh, yep.
My gosh.
That year, like, Bennett Miller was in and some other people.
Oh, for Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
But last time, there was no... All First Timers was 99.
Who were they?
They were Sam Mendes, American Beauty, Spike Jones, his Malkovich movie, you know.
Yeah.
Lassie Hallström for Cider House Rules, Michael Mann, Insider, and Shyamalan. Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah, Sixth Sense.
Used to be Academy Award winning, or Academy Award nominated director. Now he makes Hellevator.
He used to be, like, He made the movie where plants kill everybody. They took his nomination away.
It's like a Reggie Bush.
Like Reggie, yeah. God, that movie was so bad.
On that note, Best Picture. We decided to do all 10 because that's just more fun than
Although 10's rare now, right? It's like
ten's
really hard to
rare.
Do.
It'll probably be 8 or 9 this year.
Yeah.
So let's start though. Then David, what's your prediction for how many it's going to be? Pick a number. Pick one number.
Eight.
DJ?
Nine.
Good. I wanted you guys to split because the winner of this wins. Oh.
Nothing.
This is just a gentleman's competition, which is why Brent and I bowed out of it.
You get likes on Google Plus.
I thought you had a browse for us.
Nope.
The winner of this gets. Check your pockets.
I got keys.
Okay.
Probably need those.
So our top nine are the same. Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, Moonlight. And you have Deadpool where I have Captain Fantastic. I had Deadpool yesterday. I just wanted it to be there.
I wanted to be there. It would be fantastic.
Yes.
But I didn't end up having any other nominations for Deadpool. So
how many times has that happened? Has the movie ever been nominated for Best Picture and nothing else?
I think last time it's like the Grand Hotel in like 1934. We typically have one other nomination.
Did it win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that may have been the only one to win with one nomination, just for like Best Picture. I think it's like that or like, not Cascade or something like that.
Selma was pretty close, but it had song.
It had two. Yeah. Typically you just need one of the ones.
That song that made Chris Pine cry.
I'm going to look it up and see. Mm.
I would love to see. I think this is a really strong year for animated movies.
Yeah,
I would love to see an animated movie crack the top 9 or 10.
But pretty much, I think it would have to be almost Zootopia now. I think Zootopia is like,
you
gotta
crushing
have a,
that. Kind
you gotta
of
have right a consensus movie that like everyone who likes animation likes the same movie.
Right. The only thing that I think pushes it out is that Kubo, really strangely, is still in the short. I don't know where it is with guilds for visual effects. Because it's stop motion, and during the end credits, they show there's this big set piece where they have like a skeleton king come to life, and it is the largest animatronic that's been built for a movie. Or not animatronic, it's the largest something that's been built for a movie. And they have, it's like 18 feet tall, and they have like 7 people moving it around, maybe the largest puppet.
Yeah, Kubo is cool because it's like, it's eligible for animated, made the short list, made the short list for... I think visual effects.
Yeah, that's what it was.
The other things is it made it for costume design.
Yeah.
Because you're actually making costumes for those things. That'd be really cool to see stop motion because that's like so intricate. I love the studio that makes those.
I feel like that's the kind of thing, and I know you guys are tired, were tired of my rant about Mad Max Fury Road being the best picture of that year based on...
It was a valid argument.
Yeah. Based on its like technical prowess and dominance. But such a genre-bending movie like Kubo, I feel like has to be in the conversation for best picture. Like, if the idea that Boyhood did something unique and they had this director's like idea and it spanned 20 years and no one's done that, Avatar, no one's filmed with 3D cameras, this movie, it's like ridiculous. And I know that Laika's done this style of movie before, maybe that's a knock against, but should be in the conversation. Like, take Hacksaw Ridge out. We can stop apologizing to Mel Gibson. He sucked. You know, we can keep being mad at him. I don't know. I haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge. Probably a great film. Who cares?
We got a buddy who watches a lot. He'll probably be on a podcast one day. He watched it. He wasn't a fan.
The Hacksaw?
Yeah.
The Hacksaw, Jim Duggan. That's what I think every time I see the Hacksaw.
Yeah.
But at the same time, by that measure, and I know you... You know, you want to go on a rant about La La Land, but same thing.
Yeah, I mean, do the plot of do the style of La La Land. The plot is, I think, what's been settling with me as the thing I liked the least about it.
I like the plot.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like the end.
I think, and I also think
the thing that ends the best part.
Yeah,
and the like the style of the end, different right. like
Wait, visual, fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Visual techniques.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's very innovative and, you know, shows off, you know, costumes, production design. You know, mm-hmm. if a movie is elements of all these different categories, then La La Land is definitely an exemplar of, you know, excellence throughout that. I think I'm with you. The writing is
other than Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Which, if La La Land wins on the back of that argument, that based on the cinematography, the visual effects, the costume and everything, that it's a shoe-in for Best Picture, then, like, fuck the Oscars, because like, a movie 2 years ago did the exact same thing, and it like, you know, it was probably like number six in the nominations for Best Picture.
Well, one of the most awards, I think, just you know, it was just genre, and some people can't get around it.
Yeah,
they don't think it's serious enough.
Saying I don't understand.
Yeah,
I'm saying no, I disagree.
I hear you. I like when you know, genre type exercises that are doing something new with it end up winning. I think.
Yeah.
You know, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King winning is one of the best things that happened to the Oscars. Yeah. You know,
sure.
Getting people interested and showing that, you know, fantasy can be appreciated. You know, same thing, Dark Knight getting nominations and someone being winning for a comic book character. You know, it just makes it possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's why a lot of that is why they were forced to go from 5 onward for Best Picture, because the people... And I wasn't talking to Brent a lot about it at the time, but I mean, you were. The fact that like it wasn't easier for the same year for Dark Knight and WALL-E to get nominations when those were my favorite two movies that year. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And they both totally would have been nominated if there were.
I just so happen to have a new series I'm writing. Mm-hmm. It's Breaking Out 2008, and what if there were 10 nominations? And you know, going movie by movie, and those definitely I make cases for both of those.
Yeah.
Those will be forthcoming on the site.
Yeah, are you going to be expanding all the way to 10?
Yes.
Fun.
I've written up until 9 right now. I just got to figure out my last one. But I kind of have different categories and typical Oscar slots and break down some stats and make some cases.
You going to keep going like back in time with it?
Yep, and anyone can pick it up if you want to, you know, I break down the statistics because that's the kind of guy I am. If you just want to say your favorite 5 you wish were there, you know, anyone can mm-hmm. do that. I think our friend had a thought about 1982 doing that one, not necessarily going chronologically back, but just picking a year and, you know, doubling the nominees where you can award genre stuff, award fantasy stuff, you know, cartoons.
He's going to do 94, the best year in cinema, 1994.
What year did Hook come out?
91?
90.
I think it's
90.
I want to do 90. So this is probably for next week, but I do want to talk about, since you're looking up a lot of the stuff, why makeup and hair is 3, why animation isn't traditionally held to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these like weirder, like why there isn't just, and I kind of understand with song, but why isn't there a limitation on, you know, like numbers of songs You know, the second best song from a single movie is better than original songs for the other three is like, it's
yeah, you could use the same logic for foreign language.
Yeah.
France can have three of the best foreign language movies of the year, but yeah, they're only, you know, going in for one.
Or like, you know, I get that foreign language is a formal category, but I would love to, you know, kind of discuss, you know, The Artist, which was a silent film, a modern silent film. You know, I think that, you know, there's no English in it. So according to that, other than the fact that it was filmed primarily in the United States, you know, it would be eligible for foreign language film. If it was filmed in France, since there's no English in it, then it could have been nominated, despite having zero dialogue.
But it does have John Goodman in it, and that automatically makes it an American classic. And I think the title cards, you know, when they speak, are all English.
Right.
But that, you know, I see your point.
Yeah.
That's a good topic for to get into in a month or so, or yeah, right before Oscars.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested to know, and a lot of that's like guild stuff, which is weird, because
especially nowadays with like special effects driven movies and people doing practical effects, I think makeup hairstyling should probably go to five.
Yeah,
there's enough there, and people appreciate practical effects. Like you heard it again and again with Force Awakens last year, that, you know, they used practical effects wherever they could. Mm-hmm. Same with Mad Max, and I think it's kind of more in the forefront of what people are talking about. People are getting tired of just CGI, and it'd be nice that gets recognized and doesn't kind of get ghettoized by seeming less because they only get three, everyone else gets five.
Yeah, and this is a rare year where, you know, costume design and makeup and hair, there isn't your, you know, Victorian era piece, which is in and is like a favorite to win the, like, both categories.
Your closest one is Fantastic Beast.
Yeah, or Florence Foster Jenkins.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea to talk about that.
Not now, because we are going long.
Need to wrap it up.
Yeah, an hour and 40 minutes.
Nice. Yes. What's the, real quick though, what's the record for nominations in a year?
No, record is 14.
So me and David both have La La Land tying that record.
We both have.
I see it happening.
Titanic and All About Eve. Only thing I could see tripping it up is maybe getting one song and maybe missing out on, you know, sound. Whichever one I said earlier.
When they
the explosion one.
When they count it though, would they count it having two nominations from song or being nominated for best song?
No, it's two nominations.
They count it for two nominations.
Hmm. So you gotta think about it the same way you make that argument, but like if, you know,
like All About Eve had three actors.
Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta both got nominated for best supporting actor.
Yeah, like part of All About
Eve. I totally understand. All right. Again, this is an understand.
I'm just saying it would be a Pulp Fiction would get two nominations.
Right.
Not one.
That's how All About Eve got to 14, is they had like three supporting actresses all in the same category. And I think they had like two lead actresses in the same category.
So you have more.
It's like insane.
But most, I wonder what, so is 14 the record for most categories?
Ooh, I bet not.
Like most potential wins?
I think that's...
A little Titanic.
Titanic has 14.
I think it's the most you can... Well, we're both saying it's going to miss visual effects. So I guess 15? What else would it have missed on that we don't have?
He's saying what's the record for most categories nominated for a movie.
So if you count...
No. And I'm saying it's probably 14. I don't think Titanic
probably
doubled up on anything.
Probably Titanic.
Yeah.
Because it got singles, acting...
All About Eve could have only won 12 Oscars, right? Is that what you're saying about All
yes.
About Eve?
All About Eve could have only won 12.
And so... If both of your guys' nominations, you know, you go 4 for 4. It could win 13.
I think Titanic could win 14 because lead actress, supporting actress. Were all its noms.
Cool. Did Billy Zane not get nominated?
Yeah, he did.
Just an artist.
But it was for Phantom.
I couldn't remember if he was the Shadow or Phantom.
It was Leo who got shut out, right? That was lead actor was the only one it didn't get nominated for.
And supporting actor for Bill Paxton. Being on the sub like, whoa, look at the ship.
You mean he didn't get nominated for reacting to her description of the most erotic moment of her life?
I'm telling you that is true.
All right. Yeah, I think we're about done. I think David's going to... our last little segment here.
Real quick. What's next?
All right, so we're done with all that, and if you're still listening, which is a huge,
four of us will be.
And we also promise these are not going to be this long typically, but Academy Award nomination day is kind of a special day in our hearts. at least for two of us.
Yeah.
So next segment is kind of our homework section, homework segment. We're going to try to pick a movie that we all see and talk about the next time we're all together. I'm going to nominate 99 Homes. It was this thing at Oscar Buzz from last year. Has everyone's favorite Frankenstein, Michael Shannon. And Andrew Garfield, who has, two films up this year. It's about a housing crisis and, Michael Shannon is kind of a villain, but very charismatic villain. I just really like him as an actor. He's great in Midnight Special. And it was I forgot who directed it. They did another movie that I liked. That's helpful. Nine Homes is available on Amazon Prime, so you should be able to check it out.
Since it's Michael Shannon, is it a Jeff Nichols movie?
It's not Jeff Nichols. Okay. I just can't remember who did it.
But yeah, we'll try to do that every week, and then if y'all want to watch and disagree with what we think about the movie, you can.
Yep.
Anything else?
I think that's it. As always, keep listening if you can. If you have the, if you have the endurance to do it, and check out themediabias.com for...
Also, Facebook groups.
Facebook groups, Twitter.
We got... Facebook groups are like Movies by Us and TV by Us.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And we got a email, themediabias.com at gmail, etc.
Yep.
That's real clear. People will know exactly. They're going to put that on an envelope. Put it in the mail.
Email us at the.com by us media,
etc.
Dot clownpenis.fart.
I'm shutting down at this point, but themediabias@gmail.com.
Yeah, and the podcast will be on the website only for now. We'll share it on Facebook and on Twitter, but we'll be on iTunes at some point.
Yep, soon to come in your favorite pod-catching contraptions.
Aye, aye. Bye!
Thanks for spending time with us. We promise we won't be as long next time. That is the takeaway. This is TJ, Brent, Chris, and David.
See you later.
Bye!